A new proposed redistricting map would change only a small number of legislative districts, but could have major implications on North Carolina politics. It was drawn not by lawmakers, but by a court-appointed professor to correct illegal racial gerrymanders and other districts that may violate state law. WFAE's Tom Bullock is here to explain all this. And Tom, first remind us of who this special master is.
Well, Nathaniel Persily is his name, Mark. He's a law professor at Stanford and has a long track record of independent redistricting. Persily's resume shows he has worked as a special master or court-appointed redistricting expert in five states and Puerto Rico. Persily was hired by the court back on November 1st, and the state has to pay his fee of $500 per hour. And the fact that Persily has released this draft in less than 2 weeks shows he's moving pretty fast on this redistricting front.
And why did the court hire a special master anyway?
Well, that was a big twist in this case that's gone on for more than a year now. Once the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a lower court's ruling that 28 of North Carolina's 170 state legislative districts were indeed illegal racial gerrymanders, the General Assembly slowly began the redistricting process. That was completed in September. But the African-American voters who are the plaintiffs in this case argued the new maps didn't do enough to fix all the illegal districts, and they also argued, Mark, that state lawmakers violated a state ban on mid-decade redistricting when they changed districts that were not found to be illegal. The court has yet to rule in this remedial phase of the case, but they sent a clear message that they had concerns with the state's redistricting plans when they hired this independent special master.
And the court gave Persily very specific instructions on redrawing these districts.
They sure did. Persily was told to only change four districts argued to still be illegal racial gerrymanders and five more districts which were redrawn and may violate that mid-decade redistricting ban I mentioned. Add in the needed changes to some surrounding areas since legislative districts are really like puzzle pieces, and Persily was only allowed to change a relatively small number of actual districts. And the court was very specific about what criteria he could use. Namely, Persily's proposed districts must be compact, they have the state-mandated population, give or take 5%, and remedy any racial packing. Also worth noting, Mark, is the fact that Persily was barred from using election results in drawing these new maps. It's an effort to have these new boundaries drawn in a nonpartisan fashion. Since election results, it's a key data point politicians use when drawing partisan gerrymandered districts.
So, Tom, what are the headlines in regards to this new map?
Well, that's exactly what everyone's trying to figure out, to see if these proposed districts would favor one party or another. And while Persily himself was barred from cross-checking election results, we were not. Enter Michael Bitzer. He looked at the draft districts and compared them to vote totals from the 2016 presidential election.
And there's a pretty strong correlation between how somebody votes at the presidential level and how they vote down the ballot. So North Carolina State House, North Carolina State Senate. It's pretty close in terms of a relationship between the two.
Now, Mark, Republicans hold supermajorities in both the State House and Senate. Bitzer doesn't see much changing in terms of the Senate, but he does see some potential movement in the House, specifically in Guilford County.
One of the districts that was heavily Republican has now, it looks like it's shifted to being heavily Democratic. So that's going to be a potential pickup for the Democrats there.
And that would still leave the House with a two-person supermajority on the Republican side. So this draft plan alone would not shift power in Raleigh.
Well, that's the big picture take on this current draft, but it's important to point out that this draft will change.
Yes, and by how much we don't yet know, and that's because of incumbents. This draft did not consider if the incumbent lives in the new districts as drawn. Lawmakers have until the end of the day today to get that information to the special master, and the court has ordered Persily to try to keep incumbents in their current districts so long as it doesn't morph the compactness of the boundaries. And the current map does have a few double bunkings, meaning two incumbents suddenly in the same district. So yes, some boundaries are likely to change.
Well, let's zoom in for a moment on Mecklenburg County. Any big changes here?
Well, the short answer on the Senate side is none at all, which is itself a bit curious. The plaintiffs in this case complained to the court that Republican Jeff Tartt's district was one of those drawn, even though it was not ordered to be redrawn by the court. Yet the court did not ask the special master to redraw that district. But the four House districts in southern Mecklenburg County were all redrawn, and it's basically status quo. House District 92, which is Chas Beasley's seat, it pretty much stays Democratic, but probably becomes a little more competitive. The other three House districts, which includes Republican Bill Brawley, Republican Andy Doolin, and Republican Scott Stone, they all shift, but shift into more solidly Republican areas.
Well, Tom, what'll happen next with this case?
Well, the state and the plaintiffs have until Friday to file objections and revisions to this draft map and until next Tuesday to file rebuttals. The special master will then submit his final map to the court on December 1st, and the court again has yet to rule on all of this. They hired the special master to save time, so the court could go with this map, the lawmaker's map, or something else entirely. We're expecting a ruling, Mark, sometime in January.